This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Coming up, best games in series history for all the games being played this week in the ACC. But first, we have calls.
We've got to talk to Charlie. He's been holding patiently in the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Charlie, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're good, man.
Good. I called you about a week and a half ago about Pitt playing Clemson. They didn't take him to the woodshed, but Kenny Pickett sure picked apart the elite Clemson defense. And I love the way the pass from number five through to the Pitt defensive lineman. And
be
I believe
Servacier.
Number five is
Servacier. You're talking about Servacier.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the quarterback for Clemson, however you pronounce
it. Right, Uiagalelei.
That's got to be the shortest pass, and that play usually works for 95% of the teams out there. And he threw it to the guy, and the guy took it to the house. That was pretty good. I couldn't believe he did that, but he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think number five is the worst quarterback in the ACC and maybe in college football. And I tell you, and his receivers don't help him, but he's not very accurate when he throws the ball. And for him to be a Heisman candidate at the beginning of the season on that one-game wonder against Notre Dame, that's unbelievable to me. Sweeney is lucky he is is not 1-7 with that quarterback. It's hard to believe he has stuck with him the whole time. And Clemson would be really lucky. Go ahead.
I was going to say, not only is he not 1-7, he's 5-3 with that quarterback.
Lucky he's not 1-7 because all those close games, he could have easily lost them, especially this past weekend. I mean, that was a couple of those questionable defensive pass interferences. Nah. Clemson would be lucky to finish 6-6 this year. I'm telling you.
We'll make a note of that. Charlie.
Thanks.
Now, my question is this, and we don't, for folks that don't know, we have no idea who's on hold.
Right.
I've had a lot of people go, I've been on hold for 2 hours.
On the afternoon show, who's on hold.
I'm in total control of doing a radio show. I can tell you, hey, here's the 12 lines, they're all loaded.
That's it.
You want to talk to a guy in Seattle, it's line 3. You want to talk to a guy in Alabama, it's line 4. You want to talk to Charlie in Virginia, it's line, maybe not. But so radio, I can handle all that.
TV,
we have no idea. So I don't know how long Charlie was on hold to let us know about the Pitt-Clemson game of a week and a half ago. He didn't want to talk about the Pitt-Miami game.
Right.
But we found out Clemson's very lucky. They're not
1-7. Yeah,
1-7. But they're 5-3.
Thanks for the call, Charlie. 844-SAY-ACCN. Let's move on. Best games in series history. It's something we've kind of stumbled into, and it's actually been great because we find these games, and it conjures up memories of other games too. And we got some good ones this week. Wake Forest, Carolina, and Chapel Hill. You don't have to go very far back with this, by the way. You could go back to the last two. A year ago, Carolina Furious come back to win. 2 years ago in Winston-Salem, we had the whole clock thing at the end and all that. And that was a non-conference game, too, by the way.
It was. That's where it started.
Yeah. So this is the end of that little two-game non-conference set between the Heels and the Deacons.
Which I like.
I do, too.
I am pro non-conference in the conference games. If that you get a water cooler game.
Yeah.
I would much rather see this game than Wake Forest and or North Carolina scheduling Rice.
Bug tussle.
Whatever. Yeah. Roast beef A&M. I'd rather see this game.
Carolina last played Wake in a conference game in 2015 and is scheduled to do so again in Winston-Salem in 2022, which would be next year.
Boy, you are on it today.
You go back 9 years, Wake edged Carolina 28-27. Can you name the Deacon quarterback?
Can you name
That's Brent Renner, by the way, coaching him up at Florida International now. Tanner Price for the win, Pack.
How about that?
Yep.
Can I take you to the Wayback Machine with this series?
Hang on just a second. Brent Renner, by the way, in the Tar Heels, fall 28-27. Look at there. Is that Josh? I think that's Josh Adams scoring the game winner for the Deacons. 28-27. All right. Yes, sir.
When I think of this series, the last couple of years, again, offense.
Absolutely.
It'd be great, fun, entertaining games. I know both fan bases love it.
Right.
But I'm going to go back when I was a kid growing up.
1970-something.
1970, period.
Yeah, that one. They honored that team, by the way.
I understand it.
Yeah.
So the 1970, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because here's Wake Forest today at 8-0. They lead the Atlantic Division, right? They've never been 8-0 since dirt.
Right.
First time ever in the top 10. They're now number 9, college football playoff poll, since dirt. So, I mean, Dave Clawson's knocking doors down. But I go back as a kid, growing up in Winston-Salem, and Billy was working at Wake Forest as an assistant coach under Jack McCluskey in hoops.
Yep.
But in football in 1970, Wake Forest and North Carolina play a game. And the Heels were really good. Cal Stahl was the coach at Wake Forest.
That's right.
And they're playing in Chapel Hill, much like they are this weekend. And it was kind of a rainy, wet day. Larry Russell, Larry Hopkins. I'm going old school on you here. Late, great Larry Hopkins, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, just passed away.
Just passed away. Wonderful person.
Dr. Hopkins.
Dr. Hopkins. Great man. Wake Forest goes on like this 90-some-odd-yard drive late in the game, and they score, and they beat North Carolina 14-13.
It was in Grove Stadium, by the way.
This one, I think, was in Chapel Hill.
Grove Stadium.
Maybe, whatever. No, it's about the game.
1970. Yeah.
1970.
14-13. You got it.
All right. Well, 14-13 was the final thing. They just kicked the extra point, win the game. But that, the reason I bring that game up is I remember Larry Russell scores, Hopkins scores, Larry Russell's hugging the referee. They're doing like a waltz out there at the 10-yard line. They're so excited. Wake goes on to win the ACC championship.
That's correct.
Right? Now, North Carolina ended up having a better year in terms of wins and losses, but Wake Forest won the ACC title.
5-1.
And I think they lost their opener to South Carolina, perhaps. The top of my head.
They lost to Nebraska, South Carolina, Florida State to start the year.
Right.
0-3.
They win the ACC championship.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the game.
It was.
That they knocked off the Heels. And here we are rolling into Wake Forest with all this, groundbreaking stuff that they're doing, having to beat North Carolina. And so we'll see. But I remember that as a kid going, man alive, can you believe it? These dudes, they won the ACC.
They finished 6-5.
6-5.
And won the ACC.
Exactly right.
Because they went 5-1 and beat Carolina.
That's it. So,
I was surprised you went to 1970. I thought you might be able to take us back to 44 and tell us about P. Head Walker.
One we ended for P. Head. But I'd have loved to have been in that era. I'd have loved P. Head Walker and, hey, boy, what are you doing over
there? Exactly.
That would have been some fun stuff.
If we go back to 2001, Wake Forest Carolina played another tight one. 32-31, but the Tar Heels led 24-0 at halftime. 31-14 at the end of the third. Look at this video. I mean, come on. Is that Brian Simmons?
They've had some good games.
Oh, they've had fantastic games. That's Corey Bailey scoring for Carolina, number 3. We got it. Look at that.
Still like the green grass, man, I got to tell you.
I know.
I'm a natural turf guy.
Deacons score on the plunge. 18 unanswered for Wake in quarter 4 to win the game.
This game Saturday just feels like the
Tyson Klebo.
First to 40, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Just feels like it. Because I think Sam Howell's going to light it up, and I think Sam Hartman is too.
Tyson Klebo.
Fun game.
Former Falcon.
Fun game.
Farragut High School in Knoxville, Tennessee. All right, Georgia Tech, Miami.
There's another one.
Oh, son.
They've had some classics.
Let's go to 2017. The Miami Miracle happened again. The number 11 Hurricanes are still perfect. Oh, my goodness. They get a throw down the far sideline. This is the game where Georgia Tech returns an onside kick for a touchdown.
What? Georgia Tech onside kick?
Touchdown.
They're the best in the world at it.
Yeah, somehow. It's an engineering school.
And they got it figured out.
There's the one. Darrell Langham kicks it, and then all of a sudden the field goal is the difference. Michael Badgley from 24 yards away. Miami wins 25-24. They had to survive a five-attempt lateral on the final kick, by the way.
The game you did a couple years ago down in Miami.
Oh, the when Presley counts. Harvin threw the touchdown.
Yes, that
it ended on a fourth
nuts.
Down review.
It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Collins was losing his mind after the game.
Yeah.
They've had some you know, this series to me is one of those that you don't see it as often, but man, when they get together, just crazy stuff happens in this game.
Well, and here's the other one, like 2012, another wild game. Miami led 19-0 after one. Georgia Tech came back, led 22-19 at the half. Okay? And this is in Atlanta, the old Beehive jerseys. Oh, bless your heart, jackets. Here's Mike James. He ran wild all day. Ends up scoring the game winner. Tevin Washington gets stopped on a fourth and short to end the game, by the way. Miami ends up winning 42-36. Now, if we can go back to 2005, 2005 is the one Hurricane fans – just drop their head on, because Miami is number three in the country, and it's a Saturday night. Here's Reggie Ball. That's Tashard Choice, who's now the running backs coach for Chan Gailey. You're not going to show me Calvin Johnson catching balls off shoe tops here. I don't want to run any more of these highlights. Here's Reggie Ball driving for the end zone. Georgia Tech takes the lead. That's the score, 14-10. We don't see any Calvin Johnson catches that night. Reggie Ball threw it, like, over his head, he'd catch it. On his shoe tops, he'd catch it. And, by the way, Miami wore these green jerseys that had, like, this orange section cut out on them. And Canes fans were fired up about that because they were defacing the U jersey, right? And Kyle Wright started for Miami that night. Devin Hester did not play. Kyle Wright, trailing 14-10, drives Miami the length of the field and threw a pick in the end zone to end the game.
What did it sound like on the Jacket Radio Network? What did it sound like when that happened?
Something along the lines of Georgia Tech has just taken Miami out of contention.
You weren't that monotone, were you?
No, no, no. But I was also boy in the plastic bubble broadcasting from the fiberglass box on the roof of the Orange Bowl.
You had to be going crazy, right?
Yeah, it was a good night.
You had the pom-poms out for that one?
A little bit, yeah. Pom-poms were out that night.
You were pointing at people in the upper deck? Were you doing that?
No, I was running downstairs to the locker room, so you know I didn't get in any post-game brawls of Miami fans who realized the BCS was now off.
Out. See ya.
Long gone.
Adios.
Yeah. Adios. They've played some great games.
They have. They really have.
All right, on the other side, Clemson, Louisville, NC State, Florida State.
Oh, my God.
Pitt at Duke, and those are sneaky. We got a James Conner sighting in one of these Duke games.
I tell you what, the Florida State-NC State series.
Right.
We could go for an hour.
Hey, what about me?
NC State has been the biggest pain in the rear end of Florida State.
What about Chuck the Chest?
Huh? Dude, they've had unbelievable games.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We told you there's some great ones this week. One, Saturday afternoon in Tallahassee, NC State, Florida State. They've had moments.
Gosh.
2017, not that long ago, NC State upset number 12, Florida State, 27-21. Florida State goes to 0-2 on the season. NC State's first road win over a ranked team since 2008. Well, that's just one example. Look at there. Touchdown.
I can't tell you how many times Florida State has had a number beside their name, sometimes a really small little number, like one of those twos or threes, and they've had NC State week, and it's just been a nightmare. NC State, for whatever reason, sees a ranked Florida State team, and they just play with their hair on fire, which leads to Saturday, Wes. We're now, it's like kind of like last week with Pitt and Miami.
Uh-huh.
Right? It kind of feels, and again, not putting any jinxes on anybody. Last week we said, you know, Miami rolled up there with a zero, little number. Kenny Pickett got his first start.
Right.
Pitt upsets Miami. We talked about it. What happened? Can they return
Tyler
the favor?
Van Dyke rolls up there.
We got this new freshman quarterback, all world dude. Pitt's got a number beside their name. Life is good.
Right.
They return the favor. They did. Here's NC State. Dave Dorn and the boys having a good year.
Yep.
Devin Leary playing lights out.
Mm-hmm.
they got the number beside their name. Florida State's playing good football. Got a little confidence. State's coming down there. Got
to be careful.
I think this is a dangerous game.
Got to be careful.
NC State.
No question about it.
I really do.
Totally agree with you on that. I think the NC State-Florida State series showcases that 2016, Florida State was ranked, won 24-20. Didn't take the lead in the game, though, till the final minutes. 2012, number three Florida State led 16-0 at halftime. Wolfpack comes back to stun the Noles. Mike Glennon, a big night. There's Dalvin Cook running the rock. Now, see, I like those gray jerseys with the white numbers that you can
read. Yeah, because you can see them.
Yeah. Dalvin Cook had a big night running it, but NC State outscored the Noles 17-0 second half. Remember the touchdown pass to Brian Underwood? A little fraught with controversy there.
No doubt.
2010, Russell Wilson led the Wolfpack on a comeback to stun the Noles 17-16. Or I'm sorry, the final there was, here's the one that, this will get it. And that is Ponder knockdown.
It worked out all right for Ponder.
I think so.
He married up.
Russell Wilson gets the better of it that night. 2005. Now we're talking. Chuck Amato.
He had a bunch of them.
Spent 18 years to Bobby Bowden's staff. Becomes the first coach in ACC history to beat the Noles on their home turf. Number nine Seminoles, who averaged 40 points a game, score its lone touchdown midway through the second quarter.
I remember the old Southern Fried Football Tour.
Oh, boy.
We were getting that bad boy started a long time ago at the old WFNZ days. Mm-hmm. And one of the road trips we made was to Raleigh.
Yeah.
And Florida State rolled in there, I believe, number two or number three in 1998. And NC State watched Chris Winkie go right down the field about 10 seconds at 7-0, thinking, oh, yeah, this can be a blowout.
Right.
Wrong. Mm-hmm. NC State won 24-7. Winkie threw, I think, six or seven picks that day. I got to look that one up off the top of my head.
All right.
But and it kind of started this whole crazy 25-year run, if you will, of NC State really causing problems for Florida State.
Boston College, Virginia Tech, they got some things going.
Yeah.
They played one time, four games in the span of 11 months.
Yeah.
They'll meet Friday night on ESPN2 with Jason Benetti and Andre Ware and Paul Carcaterra on the sideline. BC in 2008 won the regular season matchup, and Virginia Tech won the championship. The same script played out in 2007, by the way. Cam Chancellor, a touchdown-saving tackle in 2007. But here is...
Oops.
Yeah. How about that? So, there you go. Virginia Tech...
Frank Beamer
got the win in the championship game against Matt Ryan. Year before, Sean Glennon had the upper hand against Matt Ryan.
The game that jumps out at me for this one, this series, was Matt Ryan at Virginia Tech late, just throwing an absolute rainbow for the touch.
Yeah, Andre Callender.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's there's all sorts of different type. Look at that. That's the same kind of play there. Same guy. But there's Glennon and the trophy. And that was 2007. Kind of, you know what? We should have kind of expected more out of Boston College that year. We really didn't lock on to BC as the favorite.
Right.
That season. Interesting. 2002, by the way, number four Virginia Tech ran for 334 yards. They went to 6-0 for the fifth straight year. 1994. Remember now, these guys go back a ways.
Big East.
Yeah. Virginia Tech won 12-7. Five different players threw touchdown passes. Two of them were Hokies. Three of them, including our buddy Scott Mutrin of BC, threw TD passes for the Eagles. So the one that's sneaky here, Pitt and Duke, you don't think has a lot.
You wouldn't think so.
Right. They played Saturday will be the 25th meeting. Pitt's won 9 of the last 10 since 1969. 2019, a couple of years ago, they won 33-30. Pitt blew a 23-point lead, but Kenny Pickett threw to Valik Carter to seal it. 38 seconds left. Weird moment is the Paris Ford
I will piece. Always remember it.
Yeah,
my man Paris Ford having to make the walk of shame.
That's right.
3 miles back to the locker room.
Yeah.
And a bad call.
There's also this whole thing with a whistle and the quarterback being stopped and all that. Anyway, so there's what happens. Duke Pitt 133-30. 2014, Duke beat Pitt 51-48. Duke was 24th in the country. Thomas Cirk scored in the second overtime to win the game. And then Chris Blewett and the Panthers had a chance with a 26-yard field goal with 2 seconds left. See. Blue Devils called two timeouts, and Blewett hooked it.
Blewett.
Yeah, that's it.
He didn't blow it, though, in Death Valley, though. That 48-yarder was pure for the W, but he did it, Duke. No, those wins there at Wallace Wade Outdoor, you got to be careful.
Yeah. Clemson and Louisville. Clemson is 6-0 against the Cards all time. Tigers outscored Louisville 254-117. They're two of them. 2016.
One of the best games I've ever seen.
All right. Now, we've gotten ourselves into a little bit of a corner here on best games ever this week, but you're going to classify this one clearly as one of the top five?
I think it's one of the top. For me, it is.
Okay.
You know, Dabo this week said his win against Florida State Saturday was one of his five best. A lot of folks are like, what's he talking about? Hey, it's his list. This is my list. This game right here would be on my top five.
More so than Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, which Notre Dame?
The championship year. Didn't they play Notre Dame in the rain? Clemson that year?
No.
Oh.
No. But that was a classic too.
Okay.
But that game right there, because Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson, given the hype, those two dudes said, hey.
They delivered.
We're going to not only deliver, we're going to over-deliver. And that game had such unbelievable, wild momentum swings. Mm-hmm. It was a fourth quarter game. Crowd was sensational. Louisville was really, really good. Clemson goes on and does their thing and wins the national championship. One of the best games I've ever seen.
2016, by the way, Tigers sacked Lamar Jackson five times that night.
That's hard to do.
2015, Clemson needed an interception in the final seconds to win 20-17.
Yeah, but that was kind of a heat. I remember watching a game.
Yeah.
That was going to be – that had to be like a Hail Mary desperation heave. That wasn't a – the 16 game was the best game.
All right.
That game was fantastic.
All right.
See, that was going nowhere.
All right.
That's the play you're talking about, right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, just checking. Full house, by the way. Blackout at Cardinal Stadium at night.
Yeah, those blackouts never work.
Okay. Remember that Saturday?
Just telling you, I'm not talking about just Louisville. I'm talking about anybody that starts to, hey, when you get out of your routine, we're going to have new uniforms. Okay, great. Let's go win a game.
Real quick here, I want to do a little paperwork on Packer and Durham. I want to get some paperwork done here. All right, best games. Now, in your top five here, we're talking about yours.
Listening. Okay.
All right, give me the I don't want you to rank them. Just give me the Clemson-Louisville game in 16 is in your – that's on your
North
list.
North Carolina, Clemson, 81.
Okay.
Is on that list.
All right, Louisville-Clemson. Clemson at Carolina, 81. Okay. What else you got? You want to go Wake Carolina 70? Are you into that? You're going to go that way?
I just brought that up because we were talking about that series today, which I still thought was in Chapel Hill.
That game was in Winston-Salem. I stayed at my grandparents' house while my mom and dad went to the game with my uncle. Okay. Don't ask me why. I was over on Ellerby Avenue in Winston-Salem.
I've been thinking about that since you said that a bunch. I'm thinking,
my
I
grandparents'
could have sworn
house.
That game was in Chapel
I remember
Hill.
I cried after it was over. When they
you
came
did?
Back and told me Carolina had lost. I watched the game on ABC. Game was televised.
Right.
Yeah.
In the rain.
Mm-hmm.
You sure that wasn't in Chapel Hill?
No, it was in Winston-Salem.
Oh, I can't believe
where they used to have in the end zones the block Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that too, by the way.
Uh-huh.
That old school stuff.
Now they got field turf. Now
five
they do
games.
Whatever they want. You've already given me two.
Well, how much time do I have on this?
No, we're just kind of crockling because you've mentioned two or three this week. I want to make sure we get them done.
No, I will tell you the Virginia game that we did the documentary
Virginia,
on.
Virginia, Georgia Tech, 91. Or 90, rather.
90.
Yeah.
We're number one.
Yeah,
Georgia
that's
Tech,
it.
Virginia.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That'd be on there. It's got to be ACC games, not just one ACC team.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, we're counted on for the network to kind of put down. I think they lean on us for the historical pieces.
No, I get that. Let me give you a non-conference game that I got a kick out of just because of all the BS hype leading into it.
Sure.
When Clemson destroyed Alabama and San Jose.
Oh, that was good. That's a good one.
And that one was as much of all the total BS.
It's the greatest team in college football history.
I heard more garbage from certain groups on that one leading into it.
Didn't you know that?
Well, I was told that all year. And then I watched it and went, good thing they took a knee or you lost by 35. That one would be on my list just because it was such a total woodshed. And so many people ran their mouths that had no business running their mouths.
No.
And then they went on personal attacks.
Come
to try
on.
To
did it really?
Still doing it.
Disappointing.
Happens.
Disappointing.
It's too bad.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Charlie may still be talking up there in Virginia. We don't know, but he may still be getting us up to speed on the game from 2 weeks ago. I gave you four.
You did well.
You like? Go ahead. You want to rant?
2016 Louisville Clemson.
Yeah. No particular order.
No particular order here. These are just four of what we think are the best games in ACC football history.
Involving ACC teams.
Correct. Conference games. So 2016 Louisville Clemson we just talked about.
Yeah.
1995 Florida State at Virginia. Knowles' first loss as a conference member.
Great game.
1990, Georgia Tech at UVA. It's part of the documentary.
We're number one.
81, Clemson, Carolina. Coming 10-8
up,
game.
Coming up on the 40-year anniversary this week.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. That was a spectacular game with two really good defenses.
Whew, man.
In fact, if you want to dive back, the 80 game at Clemson – was really good, too, and it took a Lawrence Taylor sack of Homer Jordan to keep Clemson from winning that game.
That was the first game I ever attended at Clemson. Didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Dating a girl whose relatives lived in Greenwood and Greenville, and she goes, let's go to Clemson for the weekend. I said, hey, sure, whatever. I had no idea where it was. Went down and sat on the hill. Had no idea. And that's God honest truth. It was an incredible. North Carolina had just gotten beaten by 1,000 at Oklahoma.
41-7.
Right. And so they come into the Valley, Lawrence Taylor and all those dudes, and North Carolina controlled the game the whole day.
Carolina was reeling. That was their first and only loss of the season.
Yeah, but they dominated that game until the fourth quarter. And then Clemson went nuts, and they had the ball at the goal line for the win.
And LT sacked Homer Jordan.
Sure did. Place went nuts.
Yeah, it did.
I couldn't believe it. And I remember coming home, because we were living in Winston-Salem.
With the girl?
No.
They dropped the girl off.
Well, I dropped her off. She lived right down the street in Moxville, North Carolina. And I remember walking in to walking home and opened up the door. Billy and Barbara at the dinner table. And Billy's reading something. Looks at me and goes, how was your trip? I said, it was awesome. I said, I think I know where I'm going to go to school. I thought he fell off the chair. He goes, what? I said, it was so much fun. I've never been to a football environment like that.
You know
before.
Me, I'm about fun.
I was. We had a blast. On the hill in the Valley. That was the first game I ever attended there.
The
came down to Clemson to Georgia for me, Wes. The Clemson-Georgia decision.
Good thing you went to Clemson.
I would have had a good time either one. Worked out great, though.
Yeah. So.
No, you can take it from here.
All that to tell you that we're noodling around with just best games in ACC football. We're not doing anything with it yet. Well, that'll be post-rowing championships.
You're assuming we're still going to be employed.
That's true.
In
fair
22.
Point. College football playoff selection committee released their top 25 last night. Georgia, number one.
As they should be.
Alabama, two. Michigan State, three. Oregon, four. Ohio State, five. Cincinnati, six. More on that in a minute. ACC, three teams. Pitt, 25. NC State, 19. Wake Forest, nine. I thought one of the interesting takeaways last night was when committee chair Gary Barta, the longtime director of athletics at Iowa, kind of put Oklahoma and Wake Forest together. And Mark and I have both been fortunate enough to go through the mock selection process, posing as committee members, going through, taking teams, slotting them, things like that. And you do it in groups of three, okay? That's the way the system works. You ultimately end up in – you're comparing and contrasting teams. You end up grouping teams in threes, right? That's the way the process works. I find it interesting that Oklahoma and Wake Forest are together, both, of course, as we know, undefeated. Oklahoma's 9-0, Wake's 8-0. I'm going to read you a couple of the metrics that we have handy here from our folks about where they are in resume today and potentially where they are. Because if you take the unit rankings, and this is offense, defense, special teams, Oklahoma 6, Wake's 5 on offense. Oklahoma 63 on defense, Wake's 74. Special teams, Oklahoma's 26, Wake's 2. A lot of that is our friend Nick Skiba. All right, here's the resume stuff. This is kind of the Sports Source Analytics is a software and a data company out of Atlanta that assists the College Football Playoff Committee on developing the information to which they then box up these teams. And ironically, a former Georgia Tech baseball player, Scott Prather, is kind of the lead with Sports Source Analytics. So when you look at Oklahoma and Wake Forest, strength of schedule, Oklahoma 69, Wake Forest 98. Strength of record, Oklahoma 3, Wake Forest 5. Game control, which is something we hear the committee refer to. When you see strength of record, Oklahoma 3, Wake 5. Okay? Now, here's the remaining strength of schedule ranking, Pack. Oklahoma 16, Wake Forest 14. I'm giving you all that to tell you the system linked Oklahoma and Wake Forest together for the committee. You just read across those number lines and the metrics put them in the same boat. I know what this process will play like, and it's going to depend on who wins and loses. It always does. But of the undefeated teams not named Michigan State and Georgia, Cincinnati, Oklahoma, and Wake Forest are potentially, no matter what they do, with Alabama being 2 and Ohio State being 5, it's going to be really interesting to see if one of those three teams can cave this party in. Because the grid was kind of set up with Georgia, which is easy, as you said, and deserved. But Alabama with one loss at 2, Oregon and Ohio State each with a loss at 4 and 5, it's going to make it awfully difficult for Cincinnati, Oklahoma, or Wake Forest to get in the gate, even potentially if they go undefeated.
Every time I hear the word if, a flag goes up in my head.
Yeah, the biggest word in sports.
It's not only the biggest word in sports, it also means that everything you're about ready to hear after if is fantasy.
Sure.
And this is a radio thing, and I hear it now when you're breaking these numbers down.
Right.
You can read those for 2 days to me. It doesn't matter. You know why? You must win.
Right.
The Big Ten is going to take care of itself.
That's right? It.
The combination of Michigan State and Michigan and Ohio State.
Yep.
Those three big bad boys there in the top 10, guess what's going to happen to a couple of them? They're going to lose. What they better hope is that they all don't lose. That's
the other part.
This is my point with all that is, you can circle the calendar of, man, Wake Forest is at NC State. That's a big game. It is. But you know what else is a big game? Wake Forest this week at North Carolina. NC State doesn't mean squat, quite frankly, as far as this goes.
That's correct.
If you don't win this week.
That's right.
Right? And this is going to be true for Michigan State when they go play Purdue. Luganville just talked about it. It's one of those kind of games. Be careful. Before you get big-headed, hey, man, we're number 3. We've done this.
Right.
We just beat Michigan. Little brother, big. You better win this week.
Right.
It's true for everybody in college football that's got a pulse. And so you can sit there and crystal ball what November looks like, but if you don't win this week, adios. And people will scream, I know this afternoon, how in the world's Alabama ranked 2nd? Doesn't matter.
Right.
You know why? Because if Alabama wins out, they're in. If Alabama loses, they're out. And I don't want to hear any garbage if they have a stub their toe moment. Well, they're still 2 losses. They're one of the 4 best teams.
No, they're not.
No, you're not.
No, because
you lose 2, you're through.
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that's going to happen in this. And I kind of have popcorned this thing, but I was kind of serious a couple weeks ago when I said on the show, if the playoff comes out and ultimately we end up with 1-0 and a bunch of ones, it's going to get really interesting. Because a bunch of ones and some zero and one zero and a bunch of ones, because these 2s and 3s, by the way, Mississippi State and Wisconsin, fine. Nice season. Move along. That's ridiculous. I mean, you got 3 losses. I don't even know why you're in the first one. But the zero and a bunch of ones, and you're talking about the Big Ten, that's one place where you could see a bunch of ones. Makes it interesting, doesn't it?
Well, then you have the Big 12. I mean, you're over here giving me all these numbers about Oklahoma. Here's all I need to know about Oklahoma. You don't play this week, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know why? Because you can't lose. Here's the other deal for Oklahoma. You still have Oklahoma State and Baylor left.
That's correct.
Go look at the polls. We just gave you the top 10. You'll see them in 11 and 12 sitting there. So the Big 12 is going to work itself out one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
The Big 10 is going to work itself out one way or the other. I think Georgia is the only one, and you mentioned it earlier. They're the only one that's got a chance to have a whiff.
I got a swing in the house.
I think Georgia's in regardless. The question's going to be, do they go through Bama to do it? Now, Bama's still got work to do. I mean, you got Auburn and A&M this weekend.
Well, Auburn is sitting here at 13, and you're kind of looking at them with two losses going, huh, are they the best two-loss team? Yeah, but no two-loss team's gotten in.
I understand that. But Auburn's going to be able to stick their nose in somebody's business, assuming they win.
Yeah.
They still have Alabama left. They also have Aggieland this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are going to go crazy with the first poll. They always do. This sure. is the only one that matters. This is the time. I always tell folks who call in during the year, man, I can't believe the AP poll's got us ranked 17.
Whatever.
Who cares? It's irrelevant.
Right.
This is the only poll that matters. So, moving forward, it's simple. Mm-hmm. It really is simple. You have to win games. You're not going to backdoor your way
right.
into the college football playoff. You never do.
That's it.
You have to win out. Same thing with Ohio State. I mean, you know, you're sitting there with a loss. Oregon's got a loss. You know, Michigan's got a loss. You better not have two. It's really simple.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have two. Just go do your thing. And if you're awake, hey, get excited. But it's all about North Carolina.
Focus.
It's the only thing that matters this week.
Got to focus.
It's all that matters.
All you do is focus. Just like that. Focus. Going to be interesting.
This afternoon's going to be interesting. That's what I'm going to tell you. Because I'm from 4 to 7 on SiriusXM Channel 94.
You'll be handing grenades out.
It will be rocking.
Grenades.
Be great.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
Be awesome. People going to be fired up.
Always are.
Keyed up.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.